Thank you, Laura. That was beautiful. How many of you noticed me limping? I learned how to fly. I haven't learned how to land very graceful yet. That's the only problem. I won't tell about that story. So, you know, Jesus Christ in his Olivet prophecy recorded in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke, he foretold several major trends that would increase and intensify before his return. The trends he emphasized were religious, deception, wars, famines, disease epidemics, earthquakes, and devastating storms. You know, brethren, them prophecies are coming to pass right now. Think about that earthquake over there in Turkey and how many people got killed on that. I'd like for you to turn to Mark 13. If you want a title, it is the Olivet Prophecy. We'll start in verse 1, and there's several scriptures here I'm going to read. So, starting in verse 1, and he went out of the temple. One of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stone and what buildings are here. This man is talking about the temple, of course, and the beautiful stones, the beautiful job they did on this temple. Well, what did Christ say? And Jesus answered and said to him, See you, these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Boy, I wonder what this man thought when he heard that. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them, and he began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. Brethren, that's going on also today. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, if you take this little I am Christ and look it up, there's several places in the Bible that someone has come and said, I am Christ. And he shall deceive many. It's going on. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must need be. But the end is not yet. How many times have you heard that? For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in different places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are just the beginning of sorrow, brethren. But take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Brethren, today we have the capability of getting the gospel out throughout the whole world. And if you talk to Jimmy sometime, he can tell you many, many different countries that are listening to us today. So we're getting that gospel out throughout the whole world today. Let's go to verse 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let them that be in Judah flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garments. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray you that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, and neither shall be. Brethren, you can look around this world and watch news and see what's going on. And it just not happened until now. And the things that can be happening. You know, this is especially apparent in response to his inquiry concerning what signs would precede his return. Just read about all of it. I want to go to Matthew 24. I'm going to read verse 4 through 8, Matthew 24. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, remember now the disciples want to know what's going on here. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Brethren, that's going on today. Many, many are being deceived today. For many shall come in my name, saying, here it is again, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine, and pestilence, and earthquakes, there it is again, in different places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. I want to go over to verse 26 and 27, Matthew 24. It says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go there. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Don't believe it, brethren. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Brethren, think about it. Are any of these things that are prophesied apparent today? Almost everything that you read in here is going on today. In our time, I'm going to go back into the past because in the past we have been horrified by the headlines of mass cult suicides, such as the Jim Jones. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember the Jim Jones deal. A lot of you probably. And his followers in Guyana in 1978, and then the Heaven's Gate cult in South California. I'll get it out. South California, and that happened in 1997. Most of you were around then. Another tragic chain of events led to the death of David Cortius, and Davidians in the Texas in 1993. Brethren, these tragedies made the news. Why? Because all of these leaders were so charismatic, the followers just followed them because they were so charismatic. And they followed them not to life, but to death. But by no means should we assume this is the only kind of religious deception. Jesus intended by his warning, even in the early days of the church, Paul warned of false apostles. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read verse 13 through 15, 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. According to their works. Other apostles also warned of a great religious conspiracy masqueraded as Christianity, and that would be in 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, I'm just going to read verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them themselves swift destruction. They're going to get theirs, I guess you might call it. Let's go on over to John 4, 1 John 4. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You know, you can pretty much talk to the people and you'll see where their fruit of the Spirit is. You can pretty well tell. He also reveals the power behind a great deception in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, you know, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There are people, brethren, in this world that don't believe this. There are people in this world that don't believe there's a real Satan and his demons. There's people in this world that worship Satan. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. that's happening now, brethren. You know, some 2 billion people claim to be Christians, yet they're deceived, they're divided among themselves, and among 1,000 of churches around the world and denominations are claiming to follow Jesus Christ, even while they hold to a bewildering variety of contradicting beliefs. And they're just not reading the Bible. They're not getting it out of the Bible. I had one man ask me, he said, "Well, how do you guys preach?" And I said, "Well, we do get all of our information out of the Bible." You know what he said? "That's very interesting." Yeah, it is. But what about others, you know? Wars and rumors of wars is prophesied. Let's go to World War I, what's supposed to be the war to end all wars. Didn't happen, did it? After it took 8 million lives, World War I took 8 million lives. Then a generation later, World War II claimed almost 10 times as many, somewhere around 80 million. But what about other wars? Hundreds of thousands more have died since the Korean War, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Bosnia, Rwanda, Somalia, and there's others, lots of others that we could mention. Although most rarely made news is the ones that are not mentioned. 20 to 30 wars raged at any given time in the last 20th century. According to some estimates, wars in the 20th century alone killed more people than all the other early wars combined. Brethren, when the Japanese city of Hiroshima, I was alive then when that happened, when the city of Hiroshima was destroyed by an atomic bomb on August the 6th, 1945, the commander of that B-29 that carried the deadly payload wielded the power to destroy a medium-sized city, and it did. You know, today, the commander of a single nuclear submarine oversees enough destructive power to vaporize more than 150 cities. One submarine has that power. And there are dozens of such submarines bristling with nuclear weapons, prowling the oceans today, that also can do that. And they can ruin many cities. But there's others. There's warships, there's aircrafts, artillery, silos. And if you've noticed on television lately, there's a lot of power just being pulled around on trailers or on the back of trucks. Jesus said that world conditions at the time of the end would be so menacing. Turn with me to Matthew 24 again. We'll read verse 21 and 22. Verse 21, Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Brethren, going back up here, there is enough power out there to wipe every living being off the face of the earth more than one time, if it is allowed. But like verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, we pray that they are. Only within recent decades, though, has mankind held that enormous destructive capability to literally exterminate all human life many, many times over. So what will the last great war before Christ's return bring? According to Jesus Christ's revelation to John, let's go back to Revelation 9. Revelation 9, verse 13 through 18. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angels which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river of Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Does that sound like some of our aircraft today? By these three was the third part of men killed, and by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Well, over 1 billion people will be slaughtered in that. And with the development in recent decades of terrifying arsenal and nuclear weapons that we have, chemical and biological weapons such as staggering casualties are now a sobering possibility. I want you to think about these balloons that are now coming across the United States. Yeah, they have surveillance equipment on them. Supposing one got shot down that didn't have the surveilling, but what if it had biological material on it? It would be able to wipe out a lot of people. That's a possibility. We have lost sight of the fact that God sometimes intervenes in the weather to bless or curse people according to their attitudes and their behaviors. You know, that for your gardens, that could really harm your gardens if you don't get the rain or you don't get the sunshine. I want to go way back to 1 Kings 8. I'll read verse 35 and 36. 1 Kings 8. It says, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you. If they pray toward this place and confess their name and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear you in heaven and forgive the sin of your servant and of your people Israel, that they teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which you have given to your people for an inheritance. You know, like I was talking about that song we had, that God will answer prayers, and He will. We got to do our part. As people's behaviors continue to degenerate, as the time of the end approaches, other prophecies indicate that drastic changes in the weather pattern, resulting famines, are one tool that God will use to get the attention of many people, increasingly those increasing rebellious humanity. Let's talk a little bit about the disease epidemics, because that's prophecy also. Medical researchers have been shocked by a growing development of recent years of sudden emergencies of baffling new diseases and epidemics, and they're coming on, aren't they? New diseases, new names. But how about the exotic sounding names, as such killers as that Legionnaire's disease? That's an old one. Legionnaire's disease. The Lassa fever. The Hanta virus. And the Makupo, I think that's how you pronounce it, virus. And other deadly diseases. But let's not forget that old COVID virus. It's one of the new ones, isn't it? And there probably are a lot more new ones coming on. But we got to stay close to God. Keep our prayers up. The 20th century saw skyrocketing rates of diseases rooted in the human behavior, the diet, other environmental factors, concern cancer, diabetes, heart diseases, cirrhosis of the liver, and you're hearing a lot nowadays about blood clots. That's a disease. If these were not enough, you know, the breakdown in the social structure that inevitably results from war and famine will no doubt lead to massive and widespread epidemics themselves. Chemical and biological weapons, such as smallpox, anthrax. Then there's the earthquakes in different places. You wouldn't believe how many places in this Bible talks about earthquakes. I'm going to go to one in Matthew 24. We'll read verse 6 through 8 again. I know we've been there. We're going to read it again. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. I've got several scriptures here. If you want to write them down, I'm probably not going to go to them. 1 Kings 19, let's go there. 1 Kings 19:11. First Kings 19:11 says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in places the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake." But the earthquake broke that mountain, if you remember, in two. Now, I've got some more scriptures here. I'm not going to turn to them, but Isaiah 29:6. Amos 1:1. Zechariah 14:3, verse 3 through 9. I'm going to go to there. Zechariah 14. I'm going to read 3 through 9 on Zechariah 14. It says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azalea. And you shall the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor the night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, and it shall be in the day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. And in summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In the day shall there be one Lord and his name one." Sounds to me like when this mountain does divide that there's going to be maybe a great trade route for ships. Sounds to me like it's going to be water all the way across there. Could be a great trade route for ships. You know, as a result, brethren, of these terrible things, some of those who survive and will remain will eventually be humbled enough to finally repent and accept God, our Creator's permission of his bright future. Some of them might, and some of them might not. Our Creator's promise of a bright future in the world beyond our age. Only then, brethren, will the age-old prophecies of a utopian world of peace and plenty find their fulfillment. And as you read and as you study in this, as we've just went through just a portion of what the prophecies that are coming, if you read, you study, and you fast, and, and ask God to help you. I got to say back, you know, God knew, He knew us before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the universe. God knew us. God probably knew what we was going to do, how we was going to turn out. Brethren, have a good Sabbath.